Hebden Bridge is a small town in Calderdale. On the 30th of May 2010, it became a transition town, joining a global network of places, making a transition into energy descent and environmental sustainability. Of the many groups at the launch event, I met three who had a particular interest in the role of trees in this process. First, we'll hear from Treesponsibility, who are interested in planting new trees in the Upper Calder Valley. Then, from Black Bark, who are looking to improve the way we manage and interact with existing woodland. Finally, the Calderdale Local Orchard Group will be talking about some of the rewards that can come from well-managed trees, the kind of rewards that you can eat and drink.
Hello, I'm Keith from Treesponsibility.
And can you tell me what Treesponsibility is?
It's a community group. We are a climate action group. We've been going for 12 and a half years, and we're planning to go for another 12 and a half years. Our work is focused around climate change awareness, and specifically in this valley, planting trees. So we don't think that planting trees is going to stop climate change, but they do have lots of advantages for this particular valley, because they will slow down the effects of flooding. This valley has already been flooded. And also the tree planting is a platform for networking and education about all other aspects of climate change.
Okay, that's really interesting. So you mentioned you've been going for 12 and a half years and you see yourself going on for the same length of time. Is there a sort of programme of what you hope to achieve by the end of that 25 years?
Taking each year as it comes, we're currently planting about 5 hectares of woodland a year on other people's land. We don't actually have any of our own land. Okay. For the last 3 years, a lot of that plantation has been really, really dense planting, so it's going to be used for future coppice wood fuel. But we also plant sort of a less dense planting, which is more kind of for the flood and the wildlife benefits.
And do you plant fruit trees?
We do plant fruit trees. We try and plant an orchard every year, which we often get to do, but you know, it depends on finding the right site. And in the Pennines, not every site is suitable for an orchard. We don't actually have land, we're just dependent on the land that people give to us. But okay. We're very much into planting fruit trees, yeah.
Okay. We're here today at the launch of Hebden Bridge as a transition town. Can you tell me how Treesponsibility fits into that?
Treesponsibility is all about transition. It's about a low carbon vision, basically, and about sustainability. So when Transition Town came along, we just sort of slotted into it naturally.
Fantastic. Okay, so you're very much a part of the local network?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay. So, Keith, can you tell me how people can get involved in Treesponsibility, and do you have anything coming up that people could get involved in?
Yes, we do. We run weekends, which groups and individuals can come along to, and then they'll be like, they get fed on Friday night and they get worked hard on Saturday and Sunday, and there's also lots of fun involved.
Okay.
They're very popular weekends, people come back for them. The planting season runs from September through to March, so the next season is going to begin on Friday the 10th of September. Uh-huh. And so that evening we're going to have in the Trades Club in Hebden Bridge, we're going to have a big benefit party. We've got bands coming down and DJs, and going to be lots of dancing and fun. Then on the Saturday we're going to plant 1,000 trees, and there's going to be a meal in the evening. And then on the Sunday, another way people can get involved is we want to do a sponsored walk, and we're going to take people around, give guidebooks or take people around lots of the sites that we've been planted over the last decade. So that should be quite exciting. And then if you check our website, which is treesponsibility.com, then you'll see all the planting dates that we've got for the coming season, so people can just come along to those.
Fantastic. So that's the hand-on stuff. And I think you mentioned earlier that you you planted on donated land. Is that right?
It's not donated land, but it's not our land. You know, the landowners keep the land, but we just plant the trees on it for them.
Right. So if there are any landowners listening to this, how should they respond?
Again, they can go to our website or send us an email, which is treesponsibility@yahoo.co.uk. If they want trees planting in Calderdale, in the Upper Calder Valley, then we'll definitely come and have a look at their site and give them some advice about what they can do.
That's fantastic. Thanks very much, Keith.
Nice one. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Howell from Black Bark Woodlands. Black Black Woodlands is a small group that's very, very recently been set up, looking to start managing existing woodlands in the Calder Valley, because at present they're not managed at all, and in many cases they're actually deteriorating from overgrazing and neglect. So we're looking to start management.
That's really interesting. So it's not about new woodlands, it's about protecting and enhancing existing ones.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's, the woodlands around here are a fantastic resource, and we could, if managed in a sustainable, renewable, responsible way, they could provide vast amounts of fuel, wood, materials for construction, for tools and utensils and crafts, as well as continuing to be a fantastic wildlife habitat. And part of this is actually getting the community to value woodlands again, because what we're really seeing is that the human community only interacts with woodlands in terms of leisure, in terms of recreation. So dog walkers love woodlands, and people walk through them and are beautiful, fantastic, gorgeous. But what we want is a bit more than that. We want the woodlands and people to interact a bit more, and for people to value their structure and engage with them some more, and so that their long-term survival is encouraged.
Okay. Now, you mentioned grazing. Are there any other threats to the woodland in the Calder Valley that you'd like to mention?
To be honest, not really. There aren't very many threats. What we've actually seen in the 20th century is the kind of amount of woodland increasing. So 100 years ago, there was far less woodland here than there is now. So we've seen a lot of secondary woodland coming through. And people understand that woodland is good. There's this attitude of, trees are good. You shouldn't damage woodland. It's a protected habitat. So we're not really seeing very many threats. But there's also a kind of ignorance about how we can relate to woodland. And so grazing is the major threat.
Some parts of the country, I'm aware that exotic species pose a threat to the indigenous species of trees. Is that the case in the Calder Valley?
To a very limited extent, yes. There are some areas of rhododendrons. And the problem with rhododendrons is that they're incredibly vigorous species, and they shade out lots of other ground flora and regenerating trees, and they also release chemicals that inhibit other plant growth. So rhododendrons actually, they're a bit of a problem, and they're difficult to deal with. But there's only a few patches around here. Other people talk about Himalayan balsam kind of smothering the ground. Other people even talk about sycamores as being an invasive species.
Really? Yeah.
But we don't really take that kind of xenophobic attitude at Black Buck. So, for example, looking at something like Himalayan balsam, it's a very recently introduced species, and yes, in certain areas it does smother ground flora, but it's almost impossible to eradicate unless you use chemicals which aren't good for the land. And you can also look at the positive side of it. Like, around here it's an excellent bee plant. It's a fantastic plant for bees to collect pollen from and nectar and produce honey. And similarly with sycamore. Sycamore has actually, even though it's not a native species, it's become a very almost traditional farmhouse tree in this area because it's so wind hardy. Mm-hmm. So what we're actually doing is looking at the positives of some of these exotic species, not seeing them as a problem.
Any other sort of pest problems that you'd like to talk about?
The biggest pest problem for woodlands that the kind of standard forestry looks at is deer. Mm-hmm. And we do have a fair amount of deer in the valley, and we do see sites where they damage regenerating trees. And this is... it's quite tricky, really. The standard approach is to say, deer are bad, and we need to shoot them and get rid of them, okay, because they're damaging our valuable trees.
Yeah.
But the problem is not, in our opinion, is not really one of too many deer. It's actually humans are using the land in an intensive way that it was... it hasn't evolved as, and so deer are part of the land, and to kind of imagine them as separate is not right. It doesn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. So our approach is kind of more kind of deer prevention of damage by deer. So we're looking at protecting woodlands and not seeing deer as like an enemy. I mean, There are some woodland managers who even kind of like accept some damage by deer. So,
right. Okay.
So kind of accepting that, that other animals live in the world apart from us, and they have a right to be here, and they have a right to survive and live.
And we can all get along.
Exactly.
Hopefully.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. That's fantastic, Al.
I'd just like to say one more thing about Blackback Woodlands and talking about woodland management and how it's massively important to us, not just for us to kind of like three people, not just for three people to make a living, but to encourage woodland management and awareness of woodland management within the community so that people in the future can make a living from woodlands and bring back more land-based employment. Not just outside of ourselves, so kind of actually getting other people onto the land as well. So it's part of a kind of a longer term aim of re-engaging people and the land.
I can imagine people listening to this being really enthusiastic, wanting to help you or get involved. How can they do so?
What we're really looking for at the moment, since we're a very recently set up group, is we're looking for landowners in the Upper Calder Valley who own woodlands to get in touch if they want their woodlands to be managed and to be looked at. Apart from that, we also want people to start talking about woodlands and re-engaging with them. So just have conversations, go to the woods, look around, see what's there.
Yeah,
that's the main thing.
Any volunteering opportunities?
Not as such. We're not a community group like that with volunteers. We are a business of professionals who have experience in woodland management. And so that's how we're running.
Right.
We're in the process of setting up as a workers' co-op. So that's how we're formed.
I'm Mark, and I'm from Calder Local Orchard Group, or Calderdale Local Orchard Group.
And can you tell us a little bit about what the group does?
We're basically a group of apple enthusiasts who've decided to promote fruit growing, particularly apples, in Calderdale. And to do that, we're mapping the existing fruit production within Calderdale, which is mostly, you know, what's in people's gardens. So we're mapping that to see what's already there. We're also running training courses teaching people how to look after their apple trees. And the main thrust of our work is going to be actually planting apples, creating new orchards, and planting other fruit as well.
Wow, that's fantastic. So how long have you been going for already?
We've been going for a few years, but we've only just sort of got a bit of momentum behind us, a lot of new people involved just in the last year. So we're having a new lease of life and like relaunching ourselves at the moment.
Okay, that's really interesting. Can I ask you now, how do you see this fitting in with the Transition Town movement?
Well, one of the things we're going to have to do as part of becoming more sustainable in this transition process is to grow a lot more of our own food. And the thing with apples, it's the one thing we are really good. One of the things we are really good at growing in this country. So we definitely need to be growing apples in this valley rather than importing them from around the world. Because we were going to do a cider pressing this weekend, but we were unable to get any British apples to do that with. We could get apples from Brazil and apples from New Zealand, but nothing from this country. I mean, that's part of the time of the year, and we're going to have to eat more seasonally. But and the other thing we want to do is make cider as well, which is probably our
fantastic
secret.
Is that your recruitment tool?
Yes, okay. Definitely. And we've got a bit of cider tasting here today, as we're also promoting one of the local businesses runs a cider festival every year in Hebden Bridge.
Okay.
So they're down and they're allowing people to taste ciders and get to know what the artisan producers are putting out.
Great. Okay, and can I finally just ask you, how would people get involved in your group if they want to?
We have a website and an email address, but our website is Calder Clog. It's a clog standing for Calderdale Local Orchard Group. So Calder Clog, all one word, dot wordpress.com. So calderclog.wordpress.com.
Fantastic. And can you tell me when the Cider Festival is, please?
The Cider Festival is the 2nd, 3rd and 4th of July at the Stubbing Wharf Pub in Hebden Bridge on the canal. And it's a great day.
Thank you very much, Mark.
And we'll be there. So people can get in touch with us there. We'll run a stall there as well.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So if you've got land, if you've got apple trees, or if you just want to get your hands dirty with apples, with other fruit as well, then come along and join us.